you have please move towards your right or my left, please, because a lot of people who came in yesterday didn't find the room. If you can please get up and move towards your right. Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
بارے دیگر صلوات
محمد و آل محمد.
اعوذ بالله من الشیطان اللعین الرجیم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأولیه الابتلاء ولا لأبویه الانقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنف معرفته ورفعت حضرته للعقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الأضحى سيد المرسلين والأنبياء قبل القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية الرسول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعضها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس والطهر فرقم تفكيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأحدها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد.
Tonight is the first Majlis under the Al-Aqsa as the moon has been sighted, and tomorrow, inshallah, will be the first of Muharram. And the subject of the speeches in these nights is the Awamir al-Sa'ada, the ingredients for the spiritual success of a human. Islam is a religion that ensures our sa'adat and spiritual and eternal success, not just in this world, but also in the akhirah. And not just informs us about the divine teachings governing our bodies, but also the divine teachings which are ruling over our souls. And it is a human being himself who determines his eternal success through his aqeedah, his belief of haq, and through his taqwa, his actions and amal, amal of haq. And it's the human being who himself determines his shahawat, that means his spiritual failure and loss and destruction in this life through the appeal of Batil and through the amal and actions which are Batil and contrary to the concept of taqwa. So through our good deeds, we secure the eternal success ourselves, and through the bad deeds, we land ourselves in the punishments of Allah, who is Adil. So it is the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deal with us according to our actions, and that's what we say in the dua of rejection in Kabir, Ya man la yukhafu illa adu. Oh, the one who is none of his is feared except his justice. So we don't fear nothing of Allah except his justice. If Allah justice, then we would send the sinners into the hell. And if Allah justice, that He would provide all those endless blessings to the pious. So, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And his dua is seeking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma ahsin bi'afwika ajali. Oh my Lord, end my death, that means the time of the death should be with the khatima, and the end of the life should be with your af and mercy and forgiveness. The af and forgiveness of Allah, actually. It really doesn't matter, brothers and sisters, in which household we are born. When we came into this world, this is not significant. It's not a matter of crying for any Shia to feel proud that I was born to Shia parents. Salman Farsi was never born to Shia parents. Instead, he was born to Majusi Zoroastrian parents. And then he was sold into the hands of Christians in Iraq. And they tried to convert him to Christianity, and he did not buy. And then he was sold again as a slave for the second time. And the Holy Prophet from Allah, that he was.
Allahumma sallallahu Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Was the one who purchased him finally, and Prophet with his tarbiyah and his akhlaq, Prophet upbringing and his morality led Salman to and the a'mal and actions and taqwa of Salman led him to the place where Prophet himself had said, Salman minna ahl al-bayt. Salman is one of us, ahl al-bayt. So a person who is born to Kafir parents can reach that high and become part of ahl al-bayt in Islam. Whereas a person who may be born to Mu'min parents has still no guarantee to land into the domain of success if he does not have taqwa. So what is important for all of us to keep in our mind is that our a'mal, what Imam Ali al-Salam has said in hadith, he says taqwa.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad. That means, through the action, paradise is achieved, not through amal. Amal, with a hamza, in Arabic, it means hope. You cannot just keep on having, attaching your hope. I hope I will succeed. This hope is not going to make no guarantee for us. Hopes are not going to land us into the Jannah. What will guarantee the paradise is our amal and action. So through our actions we earn the Jannah, and through the actions we earn the Jahannam. This is exactly what we are discussing in these nights. So there is no room for a person to be proud over what kind of parents he has. You know, unless and until his aqaid and a'mal make elevate him to the higher level. And we find when somebody says to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that you are the son of the Prophet and you are belonging to such and such lineage, and Imam alayhi salam replies back to him that Wilayati lahu afdal min wiladati minhu. Me having the belief of the, it can be recited in both ways, me having the belief in the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, me having the belief of walayat towards Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam is superior than me getting born from his lineage. This has to be understood when we are talking about the mantra of spiritual success and sa'adat, or the otherwise, which is the shakawat and spiritual failure of a person. So there is narrated by Muqaddis Ummi in Safinat al-Bihar and the Kalima of Aqab, where he says this hadith of Hazrat Isa ala Nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, that Prophet Isa had said to his Hawariyin, Ya Mahshar al-Hawariyin, his disciples, إِنَّ النَّاسَ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ الْبِنَاءَ بِالْأَسَاسِهِ. People say that the foundation, the construction is through its foundation. People say that the construction is through the foundation. وَإِنِّي لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ كَذَلِكَ. And certainly I don't say that to you. And the disciples, the Hawariyin, asked him, what do you say about the construction? And he says that the Haqqin Aqul, I am saying it truthfully, Aqul lakum, to you, in akhir hajarin yadahu al-aqil huwa al-aqil. The last stone that the Aqil person, Islamically intellectual person, the last stone that he places is the foundation. So the foundation of the spiritual construction of our existence is depending on the last stone of our spiritual behavior, not the first stone. So there is no room for a person to be proud, well, I have done so many prayers in the past. I did so many bad things in the past. I did so many hajj in the past. this is not significant. What is significant to determine your, obviously these are very good ibadat and nobody can deny its value, but its value will be there if you continue to sustain the sawab of all these ibadat that you made in the past. You continue successfully to maintain the sawab till the last breath of your life. That is what is going to determine your success. So what determines your ta'adat and spiritual success is your status in the final moments. So that's a matter of pride of a person, for a person. Like Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, rightfully so, Fustu wa Rabbil Ka'ba. Imam Ali alayhi salam never said that kind of statement when he removed the door of Khaybar and threw it so far away. Isn't that right? The same door that used to be pushed by 40 people. Isn't that right? So here at that occasion, there is a full store of the Kaaba. I swear to Allah that I got succeeding. He never said that. When he was the champion of all those battles in the time of the Prophet, you know, and he won all those battles, starting from Uhud to up till Hunayn. He never said, and none of those occasions came some of the worst criminals in the planet, in the history of the humanity, but he never came that kind of claim that today I got successful, I swear to Allah, I got successful. He never made that claim. When he was struck with the ghazbat and the strike of Ibn Muljim, La Rasulullah alayhi, and now his life is at the end. Now his aqibatul amr, his end of life has begun. He succeeded to maintain all the ibadat that he did for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till the final moments of his life, successfully for the sake of Allah. Now he's saying, Fuzza wa rabbil Kaaba. He says that what?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
In the time of Ayatollah Ulmar al-Kaibani, Rahmatullah alayh, one of our great Mawlana, he had a person from his hometown, Ulmar, who we can pick. There is not a lot in Islam that you pay a visit to the big people. And he paid a visit to this person who also studied from the Hawza. But not everyone who wears an amama, brothers and sisters, not everybody who wears an amama is an alim in the real sense of the word. So Imam Ayyul Muhyi alayhi salam has said, Man amila bi ilmihi fa huwa alim. Whoever acts on his knowledge, he is the alim. Wa man lam ya'mal bi ilmihi fa laysa bi alim. Someone who doesn't act on his knowledge is not the alim. He's not an alim. So basically, Ayatollah Ulmar al-Kaibani went to pay a visit to this person, and it was the final moment of his life. Sakaratul maut, and the soul is taken out. And he said to Ayatollah Ulmar al-Kaibani that how much zalim Allah is. Me and you, we both belong to the same city of al-Kaibani. Allah provided that assistance for you to help me. I have nothing. Look at the zulm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, brothers and sisters, it is very important that we maintain our ibadah till the final moments, and we perform such good deeds and khairat that and entitle us, that make us eligible to be able to say the kalima of La ilaha illallah in the final moments. This is very important. Not everybody gets the tawfiq. Not everybody gets the opportunity on Allah's behalf to be able to say La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, Aliyyum Waliyullah in the final moments of his life. He says, Salawat. Our good deeds. Final moments are significant to determine our sa'adat and shaqaat, spiritual success or failure. We are talking about sa'adat in these nights, isn't it right? Sa'adat, the spiritual success. So that's determined by the end of your life. Aqibatul umur. Allahumma ja'al awaqiba umurina khaira. Oh my Lord, make the aqibatul umur, the end of my affairs, to be khair and goodness. That's what we see from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. End of the life should be good. So we find that in the hadith of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he says, Man kana akhiru, hadith al-Muqtabar, so authentic tradition, where Prophet says, Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah, dakhala al-jannah. Whosoever last statement, that means the last words that he uttered in his life, the last word of his, last statement of his is La ilaha illallah, he enters the paradise. It's a confirmed, it's a done deal. If we are eligible to get that tawfiq based on our previous taqwa and good deeds, we get that tawfiq and opportunity from Allah to be able to say the kalima in the final moment, we do enter the paradise. That's a guarantee from the Prophet. But not everybody gets that tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we have been asked so much to avoid the harams in our life, to avoid zulms on the people. One of the things our scholars of Allah say, one of the things that deprives us, makes us mahroom and deprived from having the aqibatul amr as good, from having the end result of our life to be khair and good, one of those things is zulm. Anybody who does zulm on someone, better on towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, zulm on Allah means kufr and shirk. And we have kufr and shirk in our behavior, we have done zulm on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And zulm towards the people, which means any kind of violation that you do towards their hukuk and rights. If we have zulm against anyone, and then we should remember that our personal aqibah is not going to happen. So even if a person is becomes shaheed, hukuk is not forgiven in Islam. Isn't that right? In the time of Rasulullah, this person became shaheed in the Battle of Uhud. One of the members of the Prophet's army became shaheed. He became a martyr in the time of the Prophet. And Prophet found some of the people, a bunch of people were there, and they gathered, they were crying on their shaheed person of their family. When Prophet saw that, he said that your shaheed is majun towards such and such Yahudi. And Islam, there is no difference if you borrow money even from a Jewish person, it doesn't matter. He's a Jew or he's a Muslim. When you borrow a loan from somebody, you have to pay him back. Whether he's a Jew or he's a Christian, doesn't matter. Islam is a religion of principles. If you enter into a contract with anybody, whether he's a Muslim or a non-Muslim, you have to abide by your contract. Isn't the Prophet signed contract with a non-Muslim too? So, this person, this shaheed of yours, is madyun towards that Yahudi. So basically, go and set him free from his captivity, in other words. So basically, he had some dirhams that he borrowed, and he didn't pay him back. He's not going to release him, even though he became shaheed. Even the hadith which informs us that when the first qadra, first drop of the blood falls from a shaheed, all of the sins are forgiven. That's the high status that Allah holds for a shaheed, that Allah forgives all of his sins. So we are now, when we are talking about those of the sins which are related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, the ruling of the Sharia has dual aspects. One is the aspect related to Allah, and one aspect is related to the people. If somebody usurps the money of someone, and it has one haqqullah, right of Allah attached to it, the person has violated Allah's hurmat and dignity of his ruling. And also, one is haqqullah's whatever related to it, then he has, afflicted his harm on that person. So you have to seek forgiveness from Allah and seek forgiveness from that person, both. It's not just one-sided ruling, just like the hijab. Some people say, why does the Islamic form of government, the Islamic government, and make sure that every woman wears the hijab? They don't understand the hikmah of Islamic ruling. Hijab is not the kind of ruling which is one-sided. It's a ruling which has dual aspects. One aspect related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one aspect related to the people. Because you, without doing the hijab, are inflicting a spiritual harm on the rest of the people in the society if you go on without the hijab in the Islamic government. So, what we are discussing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive the zulm, And ثم بعثنا سورة الأعراف سيد ثم بعثنا من بعدهم موسى بآياتنا إلى فرعون وملئه فظلموا بها فانظر كيف كان عاقبة المفسدين. So we learn in the light of this work that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Prophet Musa with his signs towards Fir'aun and his big shock people, and they did zulm, فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. See, the stories in the Holy Quran is not a fairy tale book. Quran is a book where the qasas of anbiya, the stories of the prophets are kept here as to take a lesson out of it. Ibrat, for an Ibn al-Aqlaq, we call it Ibrat. And Ibrat is defined that when we look at something wrong taking place, we get transferred from the typical shah, from the bad spiritual attributes, towards the good spiritual attributes. If you don't get yourself transferred from the bad towards the good, it's not said in the science of Islamic morality that you have taken a lesson out of it. It's that you don't know it. It's not called ibrat. It's not called taking a lesson out of it. All the stories in Quran, we need to take lessons. How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behave towards this Fir'aun, who used to call himself as a greater Lord? I am a bigger Lord than the Lord of Musa. So look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes the same Fir'aun with one wave of his eye. That's enough for him. Allah punishes the arrogance with the smallest of the things. This Namrud lighting up the fire for Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah didn't need to send an army of millions to overcome him. Allah sent one mosquito. One mosquito is enough to take care of this mustakbir arrogance, showing arrogance in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One mosquito was sent to go inside his nostril, and that's it. This is how Allah rubs the nose of arrogance. So what we are learning, brothers and sisters, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forgive the good. And Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 11, Allah says, وَكَمْ قَطَمْنَا مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ كَانَتْ صَالِمَةً وَأَنْشَأْنَا. How many populations were there that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala devastated and created after them new people, new nations were brought, in other words, in the place of the earlier nations? And Allah devastated the previous nations. How many of those? Look at the Holy Quran. The ayat of the Quran are full of stories of previous nations. You look at the authentic traditions and the history narrated to us by the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, and it's full of the stories of the previous Anbiya and previous Mursaleen and messengers, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took their revenge. And neither the sky cried upon them, nor the earth cried over their destiny. So basically, Allah is very, very particular towards the good. Imam Sayyid al-Shuhada, Husayn ibn Ali, on the day of Ashura, had said to his son, Imam Ali ibn Husayn al-Sajjad, Layl al-Abidin, I would like our youth especially to memorize the hadith for the rest of their life. All the hadith are beautiful, but some hadith need to be treated in a special way. Here Imam Sayyid al-Salam on the day of Ashura is telling his great son, Imam Sajjad al-Salam, إِيَّاكَ وَظُلْمَ مَنْ لَا يُجْدَ عَلَيْكَ نَصْرًا إِلَّا اللَّهَ الْحَرَجَ. That means keep away from doing zulm on someone who does not find a helper against you except other than Allah. This is what the people feel most comfortable in doing the zulm. Isn't that right? Their people tend to do oppression towards the weak, whom they perceive to be the weak person. If they perceive somebody to be strong, they take a back seat. When it comes to the weaker people, whom they perceive to be weaker than them, they find it easy to do, so that they think they can run away with it. Whereas this is the perspective of Imam Hussain Ali al-Salam. He's teaching his son that be away, keep away from doing good towards someone who does not find any helper against you other than Allah. So in these cases, in these kinds of cases, the scholars say that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself takes the revenge. If you are doing good with somebody who has no helper to defend him, then you must remember that now you are directly dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, every movement like this, especially in these cases, because Muhammad has said that in the أعجل العقوبة عقوبة الباغي, the fastest of the punishment is the punishment of zulm. We believe in Muqafat al-Amal in Islam, isn't it right? If you do good or bad, partially the actions earn the result in this dunya as well. We see the result of the aftermath of our actions in the life of this dunya as well, in addition to what we are going to see in the akhirah. Partially we will see here. Obviously not fully. This dunya is not done with jaza, the abode for giving reward. If somebody killed two people, you can only, you know, take a revenge and kill him once. You can't kill him twice. So the nature of this dunya is such that the punishment and the reward both cannot be completely and sufficiently done in this world. That's why in Ulul Aqaid, we don't call this world to be Darul Jaza. Darul Jaza, the place of reward, is Akhirat. That's where the Darul Jaza is. But partially, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the revenges from the people of doing the good, and this part is the punishment that arrives the fastest among all the lists of sins that Islam warns us about. The fastest punishment I can imagine is you do zulm on somebody. And Imam al-Hilji, one of our great scholars, and this scholar is the one who became mujtahid before reaching the age of Islamic buluq and maturity. He, in his life, he did his wasiyyat, which is mentioned, wasiyyat to his son, and this is mentioned in his book, Kitab al-Qawaid. And there he advises his own son to be aware, to be warned, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive your zulm if you do zulm towards the orphans or the widows. These are another two examples of those people who don't find any supporters or helpers against us. Especially, every family has some people who are broke, financially broke, in bad situations. And it's our responsibility, brothers and sisters, to first start giving sadaqah to our own family. Because our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam la yaqbalu Allahu sadaqata wa dhu rahmin muhtaj. Allah does not accept the sadaqah as long as your family member is needy. If you have one member of your family who is needy, muhtaj, and you are giving sadaqah to orphans of the Islamic community far, far away, helping them out, and ignoring your own family, where in the religion of Islam did you find this kind of behavior? Not by the Prophet. The Prophet never asked us to do that. The Prophet is teaching us that this sadaqah is actually not going to be accepted by Allah. Allah actually doesn't consider this to be sadaqah at all. It's not considered to be sadaqah. And then we learn in the light of the Islamic teaching that this is not sadaqah. We need to start the sadaqah from our parents first. If you have your parents who are muqtaj, those are the ones who deserve your sadaqah ahead of anyone else. And after your parents, it, the turn comes towards the rest of your relatives. And our in-laws are also part of the Zawil al-Ham concept, the wider concept of the Zawil al-Ham in Islam. where we end up in a marital relationship with somebody, the in-laws are part of the arkan-e-iyyah. In the term, in according to the rulings of the Sharia, your in-laws are now part of your living arkan. You know, they are not my in-laws. Now they are part of the arkan. Now they are entering into a marriage relationship. They are part of your arkan. So look at the beautiful arrangement of our religion. If every Muslim person starts giving sadaqah to his own family first, will you find poor people remaining in our family? The reason why the sadaqahs are removed, and there are certain reasons why the sadaqahs have been removed. The ages have been decreased. In earlier times, people used to have long ages. One of the confirmed 100% confirmed reasons why the person gets a decrease in his age span is because of qat' al-rahim, breaking away from your relatives. If you break away from your other relatives, it's 100% confirmed in the light of the hadith, the person will end up having a shorter life. So these are the reasons, brothers and sisters, why the barakat are removed. The sun in the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala la yasrullah. Allah does not forgive them these things. Look at the status of Ali ibn Yaqeen. Isn't that right? Ali ibn Yaqeen was the wazir of Harun Rashid. Harun Rashid had a huge empire, and he would like to talk about the borders of his empire. You can get started. Starting from all the way to Morocco, in the West Africa, Northwest Africa, Morocco and Tunisia and Libya and Egypt, isn't it right? Algeria and Tunisia and Egypt and Palestine and Sham, Syria and the so-called today Saudi Arabia, Arabian Peninsula and Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and parts of Turkmenistan and Tajikistan. Can you imagine such a huge empire? That was probably the largest size of the empire in the throughout the history of Muslim rulers. Such a huge empire. And Ali ibn Yaqeen is a Shia who is working in the Darbar of Tahut of his time, with the prior permission of the Imam of his time and the Wali of his time, Imam Musa al-Ghazim alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
We all know who are about to worship the Tahut in Islam, unless if you have the ism. Isn't that right? There is a difference in Arabic between ism and hijabah. Hijabah can be taken after the action, whereas ism in Arabic is always, it has to be a prior permission. You have to take the permission before doing the action. So Ali ibn Yaqeen, today you find some people are constantly misusing or abusing the name of Ali ibn Yaqeen to justify their wrong policy towards the Tawhid of today, and their wrong jobs towards the Tawhid of today, by misusing the name of Ali ibn Yaqeen. You know, picking and choosing parts of the teachings of the Sharia without the context, without considering the whole condition. There is a condition of working for Tawhid in Islam says you have to take a prior permission from the Wali of your time. So, Ali ibn Yaqeen took a prior permission, from the Ijaza. Prior permission, before working for them, he asked from their money of his life, which is the Imam al-Qadhim alayhi salam. And he permitted him. And he had a very high status, because it requires a lot of iman. To protect your iman while when you penetrate into the system of Tawhid, you are eligible and so strong enough to protect your own values without compromising. Plus, you can serve Islam by staying inside. This is very hard. That everybody can be dapped up to protect his values and serve Islam. There was not even a single Shia remaining. We cannot think of a single Shia remaining in the time of Harun, not even a single Shia remaining like that, who Ali ibn Yaqeen was able to help and he did not help. So we find that Imam al-Qadhim al-Islam has a very high status for Ali ibn Yaqeen. And so today some person wants to work for Dawood. You need to take permission from the Wali of today. So go and take permission from the Wali of Islam. You take permission from the Imam of our time or his deputy, it will be allowed for you to work for the Tawud. But who is taking permission from the Imam or his deputy? So those who are not doing that, obviously they must remember that they, unless they do the Tawbah before dying, they will be resurrected alongside with the Tawud. Is that right? The same Imam Qasim al-Islam, who is allowing Ali ibn Yaqeen to work for the in the Darbar of the Tawud, the same Imam al-Islam meets with another person and of his time, and he says that Imam says to him that you work for the Tawud, you work for the Zalim, in other words. And he said, yes, I do. And Imam al-Islam says, إِنَّكَ تَعْمَلُ عَمَلَ السُّلْطَانِ. And he said, yes. And Imam says, why? And he said, because obviously the very same common reason that I have a family, wife and kids, family to feed and all that. A very common reason. And Imam al-Islam says to him, لَأَنْ أُسْقَطَ مِنْ حَالِقٍ فَأَتَقَطَّعُ قِطْقَةً قِطْقَةً أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ من أن قطع على بساط الأهداء. If I am thrown from the rooftop down so that my body gets torn into pieces, it's more beloved in my eyes than putting my step on the carpet of one of those people. This is how Imam Qasim al-Islam in his authentic hadith is dealing with the word for Tawud. And the day Imam Qasim al-Islam is giving permission to Ali ibn Yaqeen. Obviously, because Ali ibn Yaqeen belongs to that level of Iman, that he can protect his value system, thus serve the religion of Islam in the community while penetrating into that system of Tawud of that time. This is what has to be proven, that your Iman, the strength of Iman and your daraja of Iman has to be proven in front of the Wali of the time, and let him keep this judgment about your level of Iman and let him allow you to do that. Don't take the law in your control and misuse it. Let's go by the principle. So Imam Qasim al-Islam had a lot of status for him to achieve. The hadith says, then when Imam Qasim al-Islam was in the Maidan of Arafah, Imam says, today I was recalling you more than anyone else. In Maidan of Arafah, where we are in the Arafah, on the Yom Arafah, and the day of Arafah is the night of the Hijjah when the Hajjaj go for Hajj, that's where the Hajj starts. And Maidan of Arafat is one of the places which is Madanul Ijaba, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the du'as, inshaAllah. So this is in such a place, at such a time, where the du'a is accepted, at such a place where the du'a is accepted. And such a person like the Imam, who comes up and says, that today I was thinking about you more than anyone else. Look at the status of Ali ibn Yaqeen. We are talking about burdens that lands us into su'ul akhirah, into bad end result of our life, if we have any kind of burden. That's the subject of our discussion. So Imam Qasim al-Islam, who says to Ali ibn Yaqeen that today I was thinking about you in Arafat more than anyone else. The same Ali ibn Yaqeen rejects one mu'min person in Kufa, which was the seat of the government, of his government, his position, and one mu'min, Ibrahim al-Jamal, a very poor guy, very poor believer, and has a bet, and he comes to the gathering of Ali ibn Yaqeen. Ali ibn Yaqeen was holding a session with a bunch of his wazara and ministers, and he did not even allow Ibrahim al-Jamal to come in. Time passed by, and after the passage of some time, he visited Makkah for Hajj, And then obviously, whenever we go for Hajj, you know, Prophet has already said in the Hadith, if somebody goes for Makkah, that doesn't come for my ziyarat, he did jihad, he did sunnah. So we have to do the ziyarat of Rasulullah so that we avoid doing dhulm upon the Prophet. So everybody goes for the ziyarat of the Imam of his time. So Ali ibn Yaqeen, after doing the Hajj, he went to Medina, where Imam al-Dawud was available in those days. And for the ziyarat of the Imam of his time, he knocked the door of Imam al-Dawud al-Islam, and Imam did not open the door.
The same Ali ibn Yaqeen for whom Imam says that today is the day of Arafah,
I was thinking about you more than anyone else. Imam didn't even open the door for him. And he was very upset that my father is not even accepting me in his presence. He said, what's wrong? What did I do wrong? And Imam al-Qadr al-Islam replies back, لَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ صَحْيَكَ حَتَّى يَغْفِرَ لَكَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْجَمَّالِ. Allah is not going to accept your sa'i, that is the whole Hajj that you did, all that you have done in the Hajj, you know, in Makkah, and all that effort that you put in, Allah is not going to accept it until Ibrahim al-Jammal forgives you. Now you realize so insulting or, you know, doing bad towards one mu'min person is how important in the eyes of Allah. How easy some people in our communities, generally speaking, end up insulting the fellow mu'min brothers. Doing bad, using bad words for our fellow mu'min brothers and sisters. Doing tawbah, this is even worse than
ghibah.
Well, some people say, Yo Maulana, I was one when they said that they do the ghibah, I was saying the truth. I was not lying, he said that. And I always say to these brothers that, well, if you are telling the truth, that's what ghibat is. If you are telling the wrong and the lie, it would be a slander and tohma. That's even worse than ghibat, is always truth. But not every truth has to be told everywhere in front of every person. Isn't that right? So who gave you the license to tell every truth at all the times in front of all the people? Ghibat is always true. If you are telling something untrue, it would be normal. We need to control our tongues, you know. This is about the zulm. Imam Qadr al-Islam didn't open the door for the same Ali ibn Yaqeen. And he said, Mawla, I'm in Medina right now. Ibrahim al-Jamal is very far in Iraq, in Kufa. I realize my mistake. When I go back to Kufa, I will apologize for him. Imam did not open the door still. This is how important if our behavior towards fellow mu'min brothers and sisters, how bad is doing a zulm towards one mu'min person. One mu'min person. Even if it's a very little thing, this is actually mentioned as a sign of kufr of a person. That a kafir is a person who considers his sin to be just like a fly which is sitting on his nose and it goes away. That's the behavior of a kafir towards the sin he committed. That means no importance. Whereas a mu'min is a person who considers his sin to be just like a falling rock over his head. How much careful you are, you know your rock is about to fall. How much careful you will be. The Hadith says a mu'min towards the sin is like a falling rock. You cannot be comfortable unless you get rid of that sin first. Imam Qadr al-Islam did not open the door for Ali ibn Yaqeen. And he said, well, I'm in Medina. Imam asked him to go to the graveyard of Faqih. In Faqih's graveyard in Medina, go there, you'll find an animal waiting for him, and ride that animal, wherever an animal was, ride that animal, the laka, the camel, whatever. And that camel is going to miraculously take you towards Kufa straight away. Go to Ibrahim al-Jamal and seek forgiveness from him, and the same camel will bring you back. And he has to do the same. He went to the graveyard of Faqih, and he discovered, as the Mawla had said, there was a camel waiting for him. He rode the camel miraculously took him towards Kufa, to Kufa, and in the middle of the night, the wazir and second in charge, second in power, of Harun with such a great empire. The second in charge of his government is knocking the door of such a poor person like Ibrahim. Excellent person. Poor person like Ibrahim of Yamal. He was shocked. Wazir of the king is at my door for heaven. And he described the whole story that my Imam is not even ready to accept me in his house. Unless you forgive me. He said, okay, I forgive you. He said, no, this is not going to work like this. I will put my neck in front of you, and you put your feet, your shoe, over my neck, so there it leaves a mark of your shoe over my neck. So when I get back to my Mawla, I can show the mark of your feet over my neck. So I can show to my Mawla that I insulted myself, and to earn your riba and pleasure, and to, you have really forgiven me. And he avoided that. No, Ali ibn Yaqeen was a very muttaqi person. Obviously he needed a mistake, but he was a very muttaqi person. He had the fear of Allah. He insisted on this poor man, this poor woman. And he did the same after all that insisting. He put his shoe on his neck, and then finally he went back, and then Imam al-Qadir greeted him in exactly the same way how he used to greet him earlier. This is the lesson we learned. What small zulm towards a mu'min person, that he did not allow him to come into his gathering to mention what he wanted. To mention whatever he had, whatever hajat he had. One hajat of a mu'min is rejected. It's not tolerable for a day. Imam Khalid al-Islam was in Makkah, and one mu'min is coming from Jaffa to Makkah. This mu'min arrives in Makkah, and meets with Imam Khalid al-Islam in Makkah, and Imam al-Islam said to him, you have done Jaffa on us. You did zulm on us. That means you did zulm on us at the venture of Israel.
He said, Mawla, what did I do wrong? He said, Imam said, that when you were coming on your way, you found that woman who was standing in the desert, was there in the desert, and he asked you to give him a ride behind your animal that you were riding. To give him a ride behind your back. So you can also bring him with you to Makkah. But you just refused. You refused it. So Imam Khalid said, you did sulm, jafa on us. So the hadith of the Masoom says, Shi'atuna juz'um minna. Our followers are part of us. And the Prophet considered their followers to be part of them. Whatever we do towards the followers of Ahlul Bayt is exactly what we are doing towards the Ahlul Bayt. They take it seriously.
Therefore, Shi'atuna khuliqu min fadilatinatina. The hadith says, our followers are created from the remainder of our soil. Wa ujilu bima'i walayatina. And they have been, the
water of our wilayat has been mixed in that
khamir of air, in other words. So we find that every mu'min person has his own respect that needs to be kept. Any kind of zulm that we can do, especially towards the wives and kids. There's another very blunt example that the scholar gives, because the hadith says that فَإِنَّهُنَّ عَوَارِي نِنَّكُمْ. Your wives are your and amanat of Allah. If a person has zulm towards his wife, obviously, there's no license for the wife to do good either. But what we need to be careful is that we are not supposed to do zulm towards our family members. In the Allah, Allah, yaqdhibu rijlayhim min ghadabihi bil-nisaa' was-sibyan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have the ghadab towards anything, the rank anger and wrath towards anything, the way he is angry towards the woman and the kids. So we find Ayatollah Bahauddin Mahallati, he said, I have
I'm sure about one person that I know that he belongs to Jannah, to the paradise, and I'm sure about one person that he belongs to the hell. Very often you get that kind of judgment, isn't it right? But the Urufa who don't have the Hijabat and they can foresee the mustaqbal in the future, they would like to say, because they are seeing the future. They are like, you know, sinners like me who don't know nothing about the future or the past. So he said that about the person, he said that I'm sure that he belongs to Jannah. Then this person was the person who found a bunch of bullies who were trying to do zina towards each other. And he said that this person went in and he set this girl free from their clutches and kept her because it was middle of the night, so he could not take her to her home straight away. He kept her safely in the house, in, you know, in his place, until the father arrived, and then he took her back to her home. Najla Bahauddin Mahallati Rahmatullah said that I'm sure that this person belongs to him. Some of the good deeds that we perform are so beloved in the eyes of Allah. We have to do something to earn his rahmat. So, and about the person that he said that I'm sure that he belongs to the hell, he said that was a person who was doing so much good towards his wife, and that finally his wife had a heart failure and heart attack and she passed away. So basically, brothers and sisters, it's very important for us. It's not just bigger examples. You know, one of the teachers in the house was actually giving the example. One of the scholars was giving the example of even parking your cars. They talk about zulm. Sometimes it's we end up having, you know, some very big and blunt examples only coming into our passing into our mind. So even if we park our car in a way that we can cause an inflict harm and suffering for another woman person because we parked the car wrongfully, that's also zulm. That's also zulm. It's not just very big examples that we can think of. Any kind of, I remember there's an incident which is narrated by the scholars, Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah, when he came once to deliver his Baqul Qarib, that's the Qarib in the Madrasa Al-Fadriya, the historic Madrasa Al-Fadriya of home, and when he was about to enter into the hall where he used to deliver his Qarib, some of the students were standing outside waiting for him, and one of the students rushing into the hall, when he came, he put his shoes over the shoe of someone else which was sitting there. He put his shoe over the shoes of someone else. Over the shoe of someone else. He saw that and he struck his dastakhari. He did not deliver his lesson on that day. Instead, he delivered his lesson of akhlaq on that day. He delivered the Rasul Akhlaq on that day, instead of delivering the Rasul Qaris. And he told us, you know, you people are coming here to learn Islam, and you don't realize that stepping over the shoe of somebody else is not permitted. This is called khatm in Islam. You are using someone's property without the permission of the owner. Do you have permission from the owner to step over his shoes? You don't realize the basic wajib and haram of Islam. So all these great personalities of our religion, those ghaibin who have reached a high level, because they are holding themselves accountable for the slightest of the wrongs that you can think of. And that's how they reach those levels. So we find that Islam, Mirza, Ahaliyah Shirazi, Rahmatullah Alayh, this great scholar of ours, he was invited by Ayatollah Khomeini, and the speech is coming to the end. Ayatollah Khomeini invited him to deliver Dars-e Akhlaq. And Ayatollah Tabari Shirazi Rahmatullah Alayh says that once I saw the dream that I died, and when I was laid into the grave, a dog was brought inside my grave. How is this very unpleasant feeling to have a dog sitting next to you in your grave? And he is a person of akhlaq, he is a teacher of akhlaq, he knows all these things very well, he understands these things very well himself. He realized that somewhere I have a bad mouth. I did some wrong statement somewhere. He realized. And a bad akhlaq. So he did tawassul towards Imam Sayyid al-Shuhada alayhi salam.
Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad. Imam came into his grave. He sees in the dream. Imam comes into his grave and he does an ishara, he indicates, and he makes the dog to leave from his grave. And he says, because you are one of our muwali, you are one of our lovers, so we will remove this patama from you. So not everybody even gets that privilege. If we have any kind of zoom towards someone, then we should be ready for the aftermath of their actions. Especially, brothers and sisters, if the zoom is related towards the